I'm trying to do what little I can to be able to be a blessing and not a stumbling block to somebody. Now, there's some people that you're never going to be able to please. There's some that you cannot reach because those people are before of old ordained unto condemnation. Ungodly men, the Bible said, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So those people you can't reach. Today is an awful day. How do you know that? It's a terrible day. They just gave me a clipping. I found it in my automobile as I come up. Brother James Tarnch here, he brings us a lot of clippings, and he may have put this one in there. There, a clipping there where, you know, they're ordaining a lot of women into the priesthood. And I noticed that the paper stated that this woman, 30 years old, a noted lesbian, ordained into the priesthood. And the paper stated that she was well capable of taking care of her office because she was so spiritual. Practicing her evil while she was campaigning for an office. How do you understand why the Bible tells us that they will kill us and think they do God a service? Don't you know people like that get in a priesthood and people like that get in a leadership? That people like me that say that that's of the devil and that she's of the devil, and all of those that practice that things of the devil, don't you know they're going to kill me? And if you stand for it, don't you know they're going to kill you? Because they've got to protect their position. Because it is of the devil and she is of the devil as long as she practices that evil. And that's the powers of the devil that's got control of her. And it's going to cause her to hate me and hate you and all of us. That's why in the early church, back there, the people back there killed the people in the early church because of these very things. We see back there they stood for righteousness. We've got to stand for righteousness today. How do you know that you got to stand for something? Now the world is going to speak evil of you, say all manner of evil against you, and cast your name out as evil for the name's sake of the Lord. As a matter of fact, if they don't do that, there's something wrong with you. The Bible said, woe unto that man that everybody speaks well of, for they did that to the false prophets. But when men everywhere begin to cast out your name as evil, speak all manner of evil against you, falsely, it's got to be falsely, for my name's sake, then be exceedingly glad and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. Isn't that right? All right. So far, so persecuted they, the prophets, before you. So it's a horrible day that we're living in. Horrible day. But in the midst of all of it, there's something precious, something wonderful that's taking place. I want to read a little bit in the Gospel of St. Matthew's. This is his version of his relation with Jesus. He walked with the Lord Jesus Christ as the other apostles did, always around him. And this is his expose from his heart of what he felt the Lord Jesus was like. When they saw Jesus, they knew that Jesus was a man. They knew that he was a man. They walked with him. They knew he was a man. He had the life of a man. He ate like a man. He slept like a man. He had the problems of a man. He was tempted in every way as a man because he was a man. How do you know Jesus was a man? The man, Christ Jesus. He was not some superficial supposed to be, but he was every bit a man. He was a man, just like I'm a man. But he was God incarnate in the flesh. How many of you know that? He was God incarnate in the flesh. How many of you know that Elijah was a man? He was a man, but he was God in the flesh. How many of you know that? Moses was a man, but he was God in the flesh. Is that right? So then today you are a man, but if you're born again, you're God in the flesh. Is that right? According to your measure of spirit, whatever it might be, you're God in the flesh. Now, whatever measure God has dealt unto you, then that is God in the flesh. How do you know the Bible said God is in you? And they will fall down on their face and report that God is in you of a truth. Is that the Bible? How do you know the Bible said this is the temple of God, of the Holy Ghost, and that God will walk in us and talk in us? Is that right? So then that is God in the flesh. Is that right? And the Bible tells us that if any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, that man is Antichrist. Is that right? If anybody denies that God, the Holy Spirit, lives in a human body, that man is an Antichrist. Because God lives in a human body. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, it's just a matter of having faith and being saved. Faith means to believe. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles every time he thinks about it. Is that right? Every time Satan thinks about God, the wrath of God, he begins to tremble because he knows that he's a candidate for the wrath of God. So then if you believe there's one God, you do well. He believes and trembles. So we don't just believe unto salvation. That's not all there is to it. But we are God manifested in the flesh. We are God manifested in the flesh because God walks in us. God talks in us to his own good pleasure, working in us to his own good pleasure, his own will. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that. I know you don't believe that because you're not part of that. I'm talking about those that do believe that, that are part of that. I know you don't believe it because you're not part of it. But there are some that do believe it and some that are part of it. I'm talking to them that are a part of it, that do believe it. That's how they got to be part of it, is because they did believe it. All right, in the book of St. Matthew's first chapter, I want to read just a little bit. In the 17th verse, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she... not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. All right. Now, let's turn over to the book of Revelation, back to Revelation 10. We're trying to stay around in Revelation 10 to bring out a few things if we can. I don't know whether we'll get to it or not today, but we're trying our best to stay with it, to share with you what little we can in the understanding of the Scriptures. Now, I want to go back and bring my thought up again. This is a terrible day that we're living in. But in the midst of this terrible day, there is something extraordinary that's happening. There is something that is so unusual that the world has not been able as of yet to get a hold of it. Though it is present with them, though it is all around them, yet they still haven't been able to see it. They haven't been able to get a hold of it, but they are aware of the fact that something is taking place. Now, for instance, they brought me a clipping yesterday, I believe it was, from the paper. And this clipping tells us, it's got the heading that says, a new exodus or an exodus for the world. And it goes on to point out that it is an exodus from the world into the celestial. Now think about that. See, we know that the world is terrestrial. We know that God's plan for his people is a celestial thing. And the world around us is beginning to realize that something in the celestial sense is taking place. And though they can't put their hands on it, though they can't get a hold of it, yet they are fully aware that something is taking place. And they would like to know what it is.
But the Bible says that the angels desire to look into this. Isn't that right?
They desire to look into it. They don't know what it's all about. Now, I'm not talking about heavenly angels. I'm talking about fallen angels. They desire to look into this and see what it's all about. And even the heavenly angels, holy angels that is, even they would love to know more about what's going on. See, they've never been purchased by the blood. They've never been born again. This is an intimate relationship with God that the angels doesn't have. This is something that is special. It is a special thing between God and His people. Somebody would say, but what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean that the angels are close to God. They are in the presence of God. And they do service for God. Isn't that right? But so are the children of your family. So are the friends and so are the neighbors. But the Bible teaches when it comes to the bride, there is an intimate relationship between her and her companion that nobody knows of but her and her companion. Is that right? Between God and His bride, there's something wonderful taking place. Hallelujah. You say, what is it? It is a divine conception from heaven. Hallelujah. And it's bringing forth the image of the Son of the living God. Something has taken place that has never took place before. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within him. There is something that's taken place in an outstanding way. And the reason is because we have an intimate relation with God that the world doesn't have. And the world that's round about us and the angelic forces round and about us, they stand in awe and great admiration, but they can't explain it. So then there's something that's taking place. This is why that we get excited like we do. I get excited a lot of times. I get to thinking about it and I get excited. And sometimes I just have to pull away from everybody, maybe for a whole week or maybe for a month. Maybe for a long time, I have done it for many months. I just pull away from somebody, you know, away from the church, away from the people, just to get with God because I could tell something was happening. I'd get excited about it. And I'd feel that drawing, that wooing from God that would draw me away. See, something is taking place. Something wonderful is taking place. This is why that I get excited. This is why others get excited. This is why Brother Taylor gets excited. And those that are able to see gets excited because they're not looking at the veil, but they see the rent veil of humanity and they're looking beyond the veil and they see something that's stimulating, something that's arousing, something that stirs them, that makes them want to get up and move for God. Hallelujah. And so then there is an exciting thing that's taking place. We're all just human beings, all down here in the world together, but there is something that's taking place. Isn't that right? Yeah. Two women can be walking side by side, but maybe one of them is carrying life and one of them is not carrying life. So there's a difference in something that's taking place. In your life, if you have known God and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there is an image of God on the inside of you that's taking place. It's coming out in the likeness of the Son of God. After a while, that divine image is going to be made manifest. And the world is not going to see us as they see us now, but they're going to see us as the manifested sons of the living God. Not because we are waiting to become a son of God. I say this over and over. We're not waiting to become a son of God. I'm already a son of God. Have your sons of God. Already we're sons of God. John said, now, beloved, you're sons of God. We're already sons of God. We're not waiting to become sons of God. I'm not waiting to pass from death into life. I've already passed from death into life. I'm not waiting for the blessings of God. I've already got the blessings of God. Hallelujah. I've got His blessings. I've got His promise. Somebody said, oh, you start preaching that thing about not dying. I just can't see that. I'll say that you can't see it, all right. I know that you can't see it. I understand why you can't see it. But I see it and some others see it. You know why they see it? Because they pass from death unto life. That's why they see it. Hallelujah. I can see it very plainly. I believe the word. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. But if you'll
purify your heart, clean up your heart, and look out yonder at Jesus Christ, you'll see that he hath done something at Calvary that the world has not been able to get a hold of. I'll tell you what, I can't talk about it without getting excited. You know why I can't talk about it without getting excited? Because I believe it. I believe it. That wheel down here in the middle of the wheel begins to turn over. Something begins to churn on the inside. And I just feel like that song that says, I'll fly away, oh glory. Hallelujah, that's where I feel. I just get the feeling so light. I just get the feeling like I just sail out through the air, you know. Somebody said, you better not try that, you might fall on your head. I don't know. The Spirit of God came down and picked up Ezekiel and he just sailed through the air. Set him down here in the Valley of Dry Bones. If it's safe to take a trip on a jet, I believe it'd be safe to take a trip with God, don't you? I trust him more than I do the jet. So then we get to feeling real light like Peter did. He took one look at Jesus, you know, and the Lord said to him, said, come here, Peter. And he took one look and he got so excited that the Spirit of God so illuminated him that the powers of gravitation lost all of their hold on him and Peter was light like a feather and began to walk on the water. Don't you feel much lighter? Amen. Hallelujah. Like the vision I saw when the whirlwind come down and got me, I just went right up in the whirlwind. I said a lot of times, you know, I was telling about it. I got up in the whirlwind and got way up in heaven and I waved bye to my mother and dad and just kept on going. You ever felt caught away? Hippies talking about taking a trip. I'll tell you what. You can read the Bible and get in the Spirit. And if you get in the right spirit and your heart's right with God, you'll take a trip and it'll be a good trip. But if you get to hearing the gospel and your heart ain't right with God, you'll take a trip, but it'll be a bad trip. That's right, it'll be a bad trip. So then every once in a while I take a trip. I get caught away with God and caught away with the inspiration of Christ and I take a trip. I get to thinking about the revelation of the Lord Jesus and what it means to me. And all of a sudden, I feel myself change, and I feel different. I feel activated with the presence of God, and I feel a divine illumination that makes me feel holy. Amen. I feel holy. I feel all holy and free, and I just feel so good, and I feel so clean. Like a man, he'd go out, he'd work all day long, he'll get dirty, he'll get filthy, has to use his hands sometimes in grease and all, you know. But then he'll come in the evening time, he'll get under the shower, turn on the shower, and he'll wash it all off, and he feels clean and pure. And that's the way we are. We're sons of God, and we get out there among the world, among the dirty, filthy things that the world does, and we feel dirty. But we've been about our Father's business. But we feel dirty and then we withdraw and we get under the shower of God and turn that heavenly shower on. And when we do, we just feel fresh and clean and holy again. Amen. David said to run through a troop and leap over a wall. This will make you do it. How do you know that? I was laying there on the bed last night just before I went off to sleep. I was laying there and I was telling Jesus how much I loved him. And I was rebuking death, you know. I was rebuking death and telling death how weak he was. You know, and how poor he is. He don't have any power anymore. And I was laying there telling me, all of a sudden the power of God came on me, and I felt the Spirit of God just going, shh. I just feel the power of God all over my chest and my body and my arms, just like the wind blowing, you know. And I could, every time I'd tell the hand of death that didn't have any power, I could hear the Holy Ghost, so to speak, say, amen. Amen. He's defeated at Calvary. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us to do, to accept the deliverance of Christ. Death doesn't have any power over us. We're free from death. That makes me feel like shouting. Hallelujah. It's a good thing I ain't David Terrell. I'll tell you what, I'll be shouting all over this building. You know, it affects some people a different way. When it affects David, he just dances and runs everywhere, you know. Amen. I really feel this thing. Sometimes I feel it so strong that I believe I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. A lot of times I read about Samson killing 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, and I think that's wonderful. But when I feel the Spirit of God, I think, Samson, you must have come short of the mark. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So it's wonderful. To be a Christian is wonderful, to know that this thing is a living reality and that we can believe it and that we can be part of it and it can be part of us. You know, there's joy in serving God. It's a joy unspeakable and it's filled with glory. You know what it's joy when it gets down in here? That's what it's joy. As long as it's a head religion, just as long as you've got head religion, you're sad and cast down, full of sorrows and full of debates and disputes and full of wars, full of fears and condemnation, and you're just an intellectual robot that's got a self-will that's taking you to the house of God and taking you away. But when you get born again, when you get full of the Holy Ghost and you get the Spirit of God on the inside of you and you get to believe in God down here, you just feel like somebody else dancing on the inside all the time. Something a-turning and something a-moving always on the inside, and something that's just motivating your being and speaking to you, elevating you up above the sorrows and the condemnations, and you feel way up here in the heavens, way up in the heavens. Hallelujah. So then, I feel good. Good, good, good. Amen. I feel good. I feel good way down in my soul down here. Hallelujah. Every now and then, somebody will come up and say something about God, and I feel that little child down there and just jump up and down just like that. Amen, that's right. Just come up and say something about his heavenly Father and he gets all excited on the inside. The Bible said Elizabeth felt the child leap in the womb. Isn't that right? Because the salutation came from Jesus, from the mother of our Lord. That's the way we are. We are spouse virgins to God, holy and pure and clean, undefiled. And we're taken with that child from heaven, and every time somebody gets around and starts talking about God, it starts jumping up and down. That's what makes Brother Terrell jump up and down. Is he feels that Jesus jump up and down, and he gets excited, and he jumps up and down. How have you ever jumped up and down? I've done it a lot of times. Jump up and down and just run and holler and scream, and my wife would see me, she'd have thought I was like a wild Indian or something or another. That's right. I've gotten away so many times by myself. And get away from the critics and all of them, you know, that's just looking and putting their finger down on you and finding fault, you know, and got you under the telescopic view of their own wild imagination. That's right. Looking at you through their horoscope. Somebody say amen. Their horrible scope. That's right. I've gotten away from that sometimes, you know, and I get back in the woods. And I get to feeling the power of God coming down on me, and I get the Spirit of God moving, and I just have to shout a little bit and holler a little bit and go on a little bit. Sometimes I get in the bathroom down here. I get down there sometimes and I just close the door and nobody will know that I'm in there, you know. And I get to talking to God, and after a while right there in the bathroom, it ain't very big, but I just dance and holler and scream and dance and holler and scream. Amen. That's how I manage to hold myself down when I get up here. Hallelujah. God's good, ain't he? Bothers so many times up here when the power of God hits me, my mind goes down to my feet and I say, whoa, brother. Hallelujah. God is good. So then there's something that is wonderfully taking place. We've got a wonderful thing in our midst, in our heart. And God is sending forth a message of deliverance to his people. Now, I don't mean just something that might heal somebody or get somebody over a headache, something that might restore a blind eye, but God is sending forth a deliverance that will completely deliver his people from sickness, from heartaches, from sorrow, from poverty, from death. God is wanting his people to be delivered from death. God has wrought healings and miracles and great outstanding things in the Spirit. And I know that when they throwed out the net back there, the Bible said when they throwed out their net, they got everything. They got fish and they got crawfish and they got snakes and everything else that was in the water. They got them and they pulled them to the shore. Is that right? Because that's the way the revival is. That's the way the great revival has been. You start praying for the sick and you start lifting the load off of people. And in the days of grace, we can do that. See, you can stir up their minds and even the tire can believe for the rain in the days of grace. Isn't that right? And you start doing that and everybody gets excited and something begins to happen. And they got a right to be excited. And you begin to draw in everything in the church. You've got everything from lesbians to sodomites. You've got everything from critics to talebearers. You've got everything from temperamental people to covetous people that's after a dollar. Is that right? When you throw out that net, you get everything. When the church gets beautiful, everybody goes after it. And that net goes way out and goes way down to the deep, and it gets all kinds of things. And the revival has brought in every kind of thing it can be imagined. Men like Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne, and men like A.A. Allen and Brother Terrell and different ones, and Brother Branham. Those men have thrown out a great net, and they have pulled that net in, and it's full of everything that can be imagined. It is full of good fish to eat. It's full of electrical eels that'll kill you at one touch. That's right. It is filled up with bastard children of all kind, of devils and demons of all kind. I had a vision that one night. The Lord showed it to me, all of the things that come in. I saw the different things that was come in. You know, I pulled in. God showed me what was good and what wasn't good, what had to be rejected. But see, when the net goes out, then everything comes in. And the net has been out. There's been a great revival, and things have been happening all over the world. Mighty, great, outstanding miracles have taken place. But Jesus said the kingdom of God being like a great net that's cast out into the water, said when you pull it in, he said you've got everything in it. He said, but when that net comes to shore, after that it gets out of the water, then when it comes to shore, he said, then we set down and we throw everything back that we're not going to lose. Everything that's no good. God will pluck out of his kingdom everything that offends. Is that right? He will get rid of everything that offends. And so we throw it back because it's no good. But as long as there is revival, that net of God that's going out, that gospel net of God that's going out to catch. You understand what I'm saying? What is those waters? Those waters are people. John said the beast came up out of the waters. Is that right? Those waters are people. That net is thrown out. That gospel net is thrown out among thousands and millions of people into the deep waters. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean deep waters? There's some people that's deep thinkers. How many of you know that? Why do they go down so deep? They think on the devil way down in the depths. Is that right? They're so deep that they're like a suck hole. They'll pull you off into their thinking and you're drowned before you can get out of it. They'll pull you down into some dark, deep depths of their weird understanding until you'll never find daylight anymore. Your lungs will burst up under there. Is that right? Some of them are sand pits. Some of them are suck holes. Some of them are traps that the devil has laid. Jesus said, why did sepulchres that lay there full of dead men's bones for the children to fall into? But anyway, when this great net goes out into the water, we can tell as the net goes out that it's heavy, that we've had a revival, that something is pulling on it, that we've caught a great catch. Like Peter and him, when he caught such a great catch, the net broke. We catch a great catch and we start pulling it in. As long as it's in the waters, God doesn't bother it. As long as revival's going on, God doesn't bother it. As long as this gospel net is going out among the people, God will just keep on letting the just and the unjust grow together. Let the tare and the wheat grow together. Not in the church, but in the world. Because the net is still out there in the waters. Isn't that right? But then when God begins to draw the great net in, then when the revival begins to be over, then God begins to bring it in on the ground. Then we begin to look and we can tell what's good and what's not good. You understand what I'm saying? So then when he gets it on the ground, gets it up on the shore, then the Bible tells us that God will send his angels and he will pluck out everything that offends. He will bind those bundles of tares. He would get them together, bind them up, and he'll cast them into the fire. Isn't that right? God will bind them all together. It might be in the woodsmen of the world. It might be in the masons. It might be in some church entity. It might be the Methodist, the Baptist, or the Pentecostal, or whatever, but God will bind them together in a bunch of tares. And then God will sift those good ones right on through and bring them right down to a unit of the membership and the image of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will fill that temple as he did in the days of Solomon, and God will glorify it with his presence and make all of the world to come and kneel before that temple. Everyone that looked to the temple of Solomon that day was healed if they called upon the name of the Lord. That's why when Daniel prayed, you'd see Daniel, when Daniel would go to pray, why did Daniel do like he would? He turned his face in a certain direction and prayed. What was he doing? He was looking toward the temple of Solomon, because everyone that looked in that direction was to be healed. So it is with us today. If that heavenly temple of Jerusalem is here, if it's somewhere around and those lively stones are somewhere that I missed, if we can find those stones of God that's knitted together as a holy habitation for the Spirit, when we look in that direction and we believe, then the virtues of Christ come out of it. God heals our bodies. God delivers us from the evils that harass us all through our lifetime. So it is a true fact that the net is being pulled in. The great revival is over. And God's begin to draw in the net. Something's begin to take place. It ain't like it's been before. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I don't understand. Why is it we're not having such a great revival anymore? So I preach the same message because the revival's over. God's pulling the net in. He's beginning to pull the net in now. What is it? It's a different time. The gospel is going forth. The God's beginning to weed out, to take away, to tear down, to get out, to pluck out of his kingdom everything that offends. Why? Because he wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. He's wanting the sons of God to rise up and do his will on earth as it is in heaven. We can do it. What is the will of God? His word. What is the will of God? His word. In other words, when his word tells us that God has conquered sickness, it's the will of God for sickness to be eradicated. When the Bible tells us that God has conquered poverty, it's God's will for poverty to be eliminated. When the Bible tells us that God has took away fear, then it's God's will for fear to be eradicated from our hearts and minds. When the Bible tells us that men's hearts should not be troubled, it is God's will that we have not a troubled heart and let not a heart be troubled. Is that right? Whatever God's word is, that's God's will. And we're supposed to be the will of God made manifest in the flesh. God expects you and I to become the manifested will of God. We're to be an epistle that's known and read of all men. When they see us, they should know our manner of life as they did Paul. They should see us as a testimony of the living word of God. If we are not a testimony of the living word of God, then something is wrong with us. We should be a testimony of the living word of God. We should be an epistle that's known and read of all men. We should be able to live the word, speak the word, act the word, be the word. Everywhere we go, we should be the word. Every day of our life, we should be the word. That should never at any time be bitterness in our heart. That should never at any time be evil in our heart. The Bible said, charity thinketh no evil. There should not be any evil thoughts in our heart. If you have evil thoughts in your heart, then you need to be born again. You don't have the spirit of charity. You don't have that divine conception from God. You're not coming into the image of the Almighty God. The Bible tells us that in the morning I will despise your image. Why? Because you will be a bastard child. Your image will be a bastard child in the presence of God. Your image will not be a conformity by transformation of the God mind to the God image, but it will be a conformity by transformating or the transformation of Satan's mind or the transformating into his image. You understand what I'm saying? You are transformating into one image or another. And God is going to despise your image in the morning. And what the morning means is when the brightness of God's coming comes, the eradication of the intellectual reasoning of humanity that God calls darkness, when it is completely expelled and taken away, this great light will introduce the in the morning. So then, that bright, wonderful in the morning has come. Hallelujah. And the brightness of that light is beginning to show up the imperfections of those that say they are the church. And as we go closer and closer and closer, God is beginning to find little things wrong in the lives of different people. Every time there is a defect, God puts them aside. Isn't that right? God said to the prophet said, come down to the potter's house and I'll teach you a lesson. Wasn't that right? Is that what he told him? He said, come down and I'll teach you a lesson. And he watched him work the work on the wheel. And the Bible said he marred the work and it was set aside. And then he made a beautiful work and he accepted it. And so it is, God is pulling us over the wheel. He's bringing us in. And God is watching for the imperfections of our life. For to be one with God and one with the Word, we cannot have one imperfection. The Bible says that they are without spot, they are without wrinkle, they are without blemish. How many would like to, you ladies, how many would like to put on a dress, a beautiful dress, that was all full of spots? It upsets you if you find just one spot on it, isn't that right? You don't want to wear it if it's all wrinkled up, do you? God doesn't either. We're the body of God. We're the garment of God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's why God turned them away in that day. Said you didn't have on the wedding garment. Is that right? We have to have the body of Christ on. That's the wedding garment. What we need is a new experience with God. We need something that's motivating, something that's moving, something that's driving this thing in us. Some of us don't have any real drive for God, any real stimulation for God. But we need something to arouse us, something to awaken us, something to drive it for God. Hallelujah. We should have the power of God in our life all the time. Should have power over death all the time. We should be able to look in the face of death and say, death, where's thy sting? Hallelujah. That's what the prophets did. When Dorcas laid dead over there, Peter didn't say it in these words, but this is what he meant, and this is what he said in his spirit. When he saw Dorcas dead, he went over there and caught a hold of her hand and said, death, where's thy sting? Amen. Isn't that right? Get up from there, he said. Hallelujah. And she got up from there. Where was death? Death had no power to hold her. Isn't that right? Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We've got power today, folks. We don't realize the power that God has placed inside of us. You say, Brother Pike, I believe that God is living on the inside of me. I believe that. But do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? You say, but I believe that. But what I want to know is, how can you believe that and not have any more faith than you've got, not have any more stimulation toward God than you've got, not have any more drive toward the things of God than you've got? How can you believe what I'm saying? Hallelujah. When you've really got this thing down in your heart and down in your soul, you don't have to build up something. You don't have to energize yourself. You don't have to get up with a bunch of wild imaginations and convert yourself, you know, and make yourself think everything's going to be great and wonderful. But you've got something that is alive down here. You've got a flame burning down here. You've got something that's just bubbling down there. It's like a little stream. It's like a little fountain down there. The thing is bubbling, trying to get loose. You don't have to make a way for it. It's automatically down there. And you feel strong. You feel happy. You feel free. You feel full of joy and jubilance. You feel a radiation from Christ on the inside. Hallelujah. There's something down there that's moving you. There's something down there that's pushing away the mire. Like I've said this so many times, when I was a boy, we had to get our water down from a spring. Have to go way off in the hills or somewhere, take a bucket, dip down, and get some water. Most of the time, the little spring was covered over with leaves because there'd be a lot of trees over it. It'd fall down in the little spring. Maybe a granddaddy or somebody be built a place around it, you know, like a little well-like, maybe so wide to where we could just reach down there and dip it out, you know. But it'd be all covered up. And a lot of times we try to dip all the leaves off. And before you could get them off, there'd be some more that would fall in it. But we learned a secret. You know, as a boy having to carry so much water, what we do, we just take the bucket and put it in and put it way down deep. And then give it a good snatch. And when we did, there'd be so much overflow that everything would get out of the way and up we'd come with a nice bucket of water. That's what I mean. See, there was some stimulation to it. If I just eased that bucket out of there, well, I took the top and everything with me. I had all kind of stuff in it. But when that thing began to bubble up and I give it a good snatch, it just goes, phew. Everything would get out of the way and out come the good bucket of water. How do you know the Bible said that we draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy? With joy we draw water out of the wells of salvation. David said, Father, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God, give me back my joy. Some of you have not lost your salvation, but you've lost your joy. Is that right? Where is the joy of Christian living? Where is the vision to get out here in little Bethlehem and do something? Hallelujah. Where is the job we're supposed to have? Where is that power of motivation that stimulates and awakens us? Hallelujah. Where is that that makes us get up in the night time and talk with God? Where is that thing that makes us push our plate back for Christ? Where is that thing that the early church had that will make you stay in the altar all night long and travail for lost souls? Hallelujah. The Bible said you ministers lay on the altar all night crying to God, howl all night long. Said when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. Where is the travailing of the church? Where is that get up and go that the church is supposed to have? Hallelujah. What is it? You've lost the joy of your salvation. You don't have the joy of serving God anymore. You don't have that stimulation of revelation that Brother Branham one time spoke about. That thing that makes you have a jubilance in God. You have what we call will worship. You come to church, you're willed to come to church. Your will willed you to come to church. Something says it's church time, and so you put on your clothes and you come to church. But you don't wake up in the morning and have that divine unction from God where you hear something scream and say, Hallelujah! Today is church time! You understand what I'm saying? You don't have that thing that starts driving you in the middle of the night. You don't have that thing that's motivating and moving you. That thing that causes you to roll and toss on your pillow at night. You roll to and fro and toss on the pillar at night, and something is moving you, and something's saying, pray, boy, pray. The end of the world's coming. Pray. Hallelujah. You know, you put your head over this way and something will say, man, get up and pray. You roll your head back over this way and something will say, are you going to lay here and not talk to God? So you prop your head up and something will say, man, souls is dying, going to hell, and here you are laying on the bed. Get up and pray. Hallelujah. You groan and you moan in that old outer man. And after a while you start thinking about Jesus just for a second or two. And you renew your strength. The Bible said the renewal whereby the weary might rest. And all of a sudden something begins to move like a locomotive on the inside. And now you say, man, I don't feel bad at all. Hallelujah. And you find yourself up praying. Down on your knees. Calling on God. And something's moving, and instead of groaning and moaning and wanting to get back into bed, you feel like you could fly away, you know. You go down on your knees and you say, Lord, help me. And you say, I'm going to pray. You talk to God about 2 minutes, you know. You think, Lord, if I pray about 3 or 4 minutes, you know, just to let you know that I'm acknowledging your presence and what you had to say. But about that time you feel something, you say, I don't care if I pray about an hour or so, you know. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. That's the way it works. When you got something on the inside of you that can wake you up. When you got this life. When you stir up that pure mind that David spoke of. Hallelujah. You can stir up that pure mind. David said, stir up your pure mind. David said, when nobody else wouldn't encourage him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Isn't that right? I come up here and I meet a brother. Maybe I'll look for that brother to encourage me a little bit in the Lord, you know. If he don't encourage me, I'll just pass on by. And I'll say, Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm a son of God. I encourage myself. Amen. Maybe I get up tired from being up the late, you know, the night before. Maybe I run into a battle with the devil. Maybe I'm wounded a little bit, you know, bleeding a little bit. I'll come by to see if a brother pouring a little oil and wine. If he don't do it, if he don't encourage me, I just begin to think on the Word of God.
And I say, Lord, you said the Holy Ghost is a comforter. Hallelujah. I need some consolation. I said, Lord, comfort me a little bit. Now, hear that voice down the inside and begin to speak to me. And God will begin to say to me, don't worry, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. I'll say, hallelujah. Glory to God, and I feel that thing moving again. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, you get to feeling that thing moving again. I say, Lord, you know, the devil say, uh-huh, said it's gone. It ain't down there no more. It ain't down there no more. How do you know that? Say, or it ain't down there no more like Samson when he got bound down there. The devil said it ain't down there anymore. Old Samson, he just hung his head. He kept on grinding, and every time he'd raise his head up, you know, and he thought, you know, one time the devil said, but that's all in the past. That ain't down there anymore. Old Samson, he'd bow his head down again, you know, and he'd keep on grinding. And every time he wanted to get out of that dungeon, every time he wanted to get loose, the devil would remind him of his condemnation. Isn't that right? Remind him of the condemnation, and old Samson raised up his head. I'm sure that many, many times he'd raise up his head and he'd say, Lord, help me. Lord, I've been foolish, but God, help me. That's the way the church has been. See, the church has got under heavy condemnation. It's done so many things wrong. It's betrayed the confidence of God. See, it's betrayed the confidence of Christ in the life. And it's done wrong, Brother James. And it's under heavy condemnation. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, the church is under condemnation. You follow me? But listen, just because we are under condemnation at times, that doesn't mean it's not down there. That doesn't mean it's gone. When old Samson wanted to do something, the devil said, but it's gone. Samson said, but I remember when I could just shake myself and walk off with the gates of the city. I remember when I just stand there, feel the strength of God. And I could just look in the direction of the devil and he'd take off. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. You know, you get to a place to where you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and the devil, he'll come and stick his head in the door, and you look back and he'll take off. He'll leave. That's right. He's watching for that weak moment. The Bible said, resist him, he'll flee from you. And if he comes around, just say, devil, get behind me and go right on. Is that right? Somebody say hallelujah. Old Samson, he lifted up his head. And I'm sure that many times he thought, oh God, just think about what I used to could do. And he'd say, Lord, will you? And the devil again is screaming out. That used to be, but not anymore. You know, he's got the church bounds that used to be, but not anymore. Oh, hallelujah. Not anymore. Not anymore. Boy, imagine that ring in Samson's head all the time. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. No more miracles. Not anymore. Hallelujah. Can't pull the pillars down no more. Not anymore. Them days is gone forever. The days of miracles is over. Not anymore. And the devil keeps on howling, keeps on screaming. And the church keeps saying, but God, the Bible said they did it, but not anymore. Not anymore. And old Samson kept on grinding. But one day he got aggravated at the devil. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you something. You might have lost the joy of your salvation, but you didn't lose the Holy Ghost. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. God's still there. He said, even as I've covenanted with you, my spirit remaineth among you. Woo, can't you feel that? He said, my spirit remaineth among you. I feel him among me. I feel him in the presence of us today. The Bible said, as Peter spake, the Holy Ghost on them. And I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's not left us. He's not forsook us. But lost the joy of the salvation because we betrayed him. Hallelujah. We betrayed him. Come on. Betrayed his confidence. Betrayed the confidence. Gave away the secrets of our strength. Got up there and intermingled with the world. Let the world with the pretty suits and the pretty dresses and the pretty cars and all of the worldly attire lay a head over on your shoulder like that, you know. and say, "Samson, don't you love me? I'm so pretty." Amen. That's the world, you know. The world say, "Look at me, a beautiful automobile. Don't you just love me, Samson?" Amen. Do you want to mess with that church group out there that's poor, ain't got nothing, don't know where they're going, miserable and wretched? "Samson, just look at me, I'm glamorous. We can ride down to the beach and slip on your bathing suit." Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. We can go off and frolic a little bit. Ain't no need to go to church too much anyway. There ain't all that much to it. Is that right? What's the need of going to church when we can go bowling? Amen. Go down to the racetracks, taking a good movie, maybe a television show. We'll go to church next Sunday, Samson. We'll go together. Me and you, right together. The world and the saints, right together. We'll just go down there together. Amen. Not only that, but if you'll just give me a hand in the church, Delilah said, we'll rearrange some things and we'll make that church worthwhile. First, as you know, we'll have the mayor coming out there. Somebody say amen. Have the governor down there. Even Jimmy Carter will come over. Amen. Sure. Have the singing Goodman. Somebody say amen. If we can't get them, we'll have somebody else. Hallelujah. If you'll work with me, we'll all join the Masons, and then we'll get the banker out there. And I'll tell you, I'll revolutionize that church until you won't even recognize it. And you're talking about a good time. Somebody say hallelujah. But we'll get us a basketball team. Hallelujah. Amen. A football team. And a tennis court. And a bathing pool. Hallelujah. Amen. Teach the women there ain't no need to cover up their knees. It's a modern salvation. Amen. No doubt Samson said that does sound exciting. Amen. The flesh is weak. That does sound exciting. So Delilah said, "Just lay your head over here, Samson, and don't worry. Just lay it in my lap here and don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. I'll just watch after you while you sleep." And the Bible said at the midnight cry, they were all asleep. Isn't that right? Delilah rocked him to sleep. Amen. At the midnight cry, they're all asleep. That's right, Jim. The midnight cry, they're all asleep. And when they got up to shake themselves and they got up to check, they found out the oil was gone. Old Samson jumped up and shook himself, but he found out the oil was gone. He found out something had happened to him. The locks had been cut off. The strength of God wasn't there anymore. The church has found out that God isn't in their midst anymore. Isn't that right? Not there anymore. He's had to withdraw. Why? Because if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. When you pull away from him, then he pulls away from you. Is that right? But when Delilah got those locks cut off, old Samson was blind. He was in darkness. He was asleep. His eyes was put out. The church today has had their eyes put out. They're blind. They don't know where they're going. They can't tell where they're going. Somebody said, "Let's go to a basketball game." Off to a basketball game they go. Isn't that right? They're blind. They don't know where they're going. They're following afar off. And finally, Delilah led him right down to the dungeon and bound him and had him grinding and paying the bill. Somebody say amen. Blind. Blind. Now you can't see, but we got a nice car. We got a nice home. I know that you got to pay your bills because you got to keep prestige with the banker. Amen. You can't go out of here and worship God because Pharaoh's got some more brick for you to make. You can't get away from here and pray a little bit because you don't have time to do that. Isn't that right? You're too busy. You got all kind of things to do. See? We've joined up together. And finally, Samson was down there in the dungeon grinding, blind, didn't know where he was going. The church bound hand and feet. And the Bible said a little child shall lead him. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, there came a day when they wanted to make sport of the church.
Did you know they're doing it right now? When you let lesbians into the church, when you let all these things come into the church, when you start bringing the parades of the world into the church, did you know that at that time, folks, that you are making a mockery of the church? Did you know that? Did you know that devils and demons are making a mockery of the church when they do that? Amen. And God said in that day, a little child shall live. When he raised up David back there to lead the Saul's army, amen, a little child, when they were all bound, is that right? Samson grinding, and every time the church lifts up his head, the devil will say, that used to be, but it can't be anymore. It used to be, but it can't be anymore. Grinding away, grinding away. Said, I'm going to pay the bills, and after a while I'm going to preach. I pay the bills, and after a while I'm going to preach. I pay the bills, and after a while I'm going to preach. I'll make a little money, and after a while I'm going to preach. Come on, folks. I'll pay the bills and then testify for God later. Amen. Is that right? Hallelujah. The wife says, hon, you can't go over to little Bethlehem and dig no ditches over there, drive no nails over there. What about me? Lay your head in my lap. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you don't think I'd do that. Did you know that when you surrender up your mind to a woman that's telling you to stay away from the things of God, you've laid your head in the lap of Delilah? How do you know that? How do you know your mind's your head? And when you yield up your mind to the world, you've laid your head in the lap of Delilah? That's your head. How do you know that? Hallelujah. How do you know what caused John the Baptist to lose his head? How do you know that was a woman? How do you know that? That man that cut off his head, he didn't want to cut his head off. But that woman did that. Because of adultery, she did it. He tormented her. And the Bible said it grieved the man when he had to have his head cut off. Is that right? That ruler, it grieved him when he cut the head of John the Baptist off. But a woman caused it to be that way. Why? Because the woman is the type of the world. Israel lost her head. They crucified it there at Calvary. Just a little bit of revelation. You understand what I'm saying? They crucified their head. They cut it off. And the rest of the body died. And they've wandered in darkness. And Samson has been bound all these years. How do you know that's Israel? Bound and wandering all these years. And they've made sport of them. And they mocked them. They've done all kind of evils. That's to the Jew. But how do you know that that's also to this body that's unredeemed, that's called the church? How do you know that it parallels with the Jew? Wondering. And every time the church has lifted its head up, every time, the devil would say, Samson, you don't have that anymore. It's not there anymore. It's not there anymore. But one day, Samson got tired of that. Glory to God, it's time the church got tired of the lies of the devil. Hallelujah. If God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, it's time we begin to take the word of God. You know what was wrong with Samson? Samson hadn't lost the Spirit of God. He hadn't lost the things of God, but he'd lost his faith. He had condemnation flood in his heart. He'd lost his faith. God's Spirit was in the same place it's always been. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But Samson had lost his faith in God. There was an angel that appeared to his mother and told her the things to do to build the faith in Samson's heart to where Samson would have a special belief in God. He had been tutored in this thing. Samson, you're special. Samson, you're special. Samson, you're special. Church, you're special. You're special. You're sons of God. You're not like the world. You're something special from your birth, from your childhood. You're something special to God. Come on, folks. But we've lost the faith in God's word. Mixing and mingling with the world, we forgot that we're special. We have forgotten that we're sons of God. We've forgotten that we're not like the rest of the world, that we're something special, that we're born in this world. But one day, Samson began to think about that thing. And the devil said, it can't be, can't be. But Samson got restless and he pulled and he tore. And he began to realize that something was still down there. He made a little contact with God. Hallelujah. If you'd roll off of your bed at night, if you'd fast a little bit, if you'd read the Bible a little bit, you'd find there's something still down there. If you talk about Jesus, you'd find something still in the makings. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But get your mind off of Delilah.
Get your mind off of Delilah. Samson, you're special. Ooh. I'll tell you what, when Samson began to think, he ground and he pushed and he pulled. All of a sudden he began to think. You know, he began to think just for a little while. You know, sometimes if we could just stop and think for just a little while. He began to think for just a little while. I remember my mama. I remember my mama. I remember my dad. I remember what they told me. They said I was special, but I'm blind. I'm bound. I'm blind, but bound. But they said I was special. And then he felt a little twinkle of glory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, just as quick as you begin to look back there and you begin to think about that word of God and what your mother said. The Bible said New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. And we begin to think about what mother said about us. After a while, something begins to churn. Something begins to move about. Oh, and about that time, somebody said, boy, it's time to get you out of here. It's time to go up here. We're going to make mock of you, and we're going to make fun of you, and we're really going to have a party. Old Samson laid his hand there. Amen. And when he got there in that temple, about the time he got between them two pillars up there, that little child was over there. Samson had done felt something in the breeze. Hallelujah, like a springtime morning. He had done felt something in the breeze. Hallelujah. That was a new day dawning. Praise God. Hallelujah. When Samson moved that head, he felt that hair back there. He began to move that head, and something began to brush across his shoulders like that. And he couldn't see, but he began to feel. Hallelujah. He began to feel his way around. Glory to God. He turned to that little boy, and he felt that hand. He said, look at here, son. He said, would you take my hand? That little boy said, give me a hand. He said, let me lean up on that pillow. And he took him over there, and he leaned upon that pillow. And he stood there, and he felt again, you know, no doubt. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, something's happened. That hand's come back, and something is taking place. Hallelujah. How do you understand what I'm saying? Something is taking place. The hair is growing back. The seven locks of God is restoring itself to the church. What was those seven locks? Coming from Calvary. Hallelujah. Coming down from Calvary. Those seven locks of God. What was those seven locks? It was the mysteries of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the revelation of the Son of God. It was the faith that was once delivered to the saints of the living God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when Samson leaned upon that pillow, he couldn't see. He couldn't see, but when he leaned upon that pillow like that, and he began to feel. You've seen a blind man. You've seen a blind man. He can't see where he's going, but he'll take his little cane and he'll peck his way. And he'll come to a curve and he'll peck and he'll put his foot down. See, he can't see where he's going. He's blind. He doesn't know where he's going, but he keeps feeling around. And when he got a hold of that pillar, he felt of it. He thought, yes, this is it. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, it's time to put your hands on the pillars of the world. Hallelujah. It's time for the mocking to be over. It's time for God to raise up the church. Hallelujah. And bring to pass God's word. And restore the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Hallelujah. And he got his hands on the pillar. And he said, son, this will do. This will do. Oh, hallelujah. And he looked up to heaven and he said, God. He said, the hair's grown back. I feel something, Lord. I betrayed you, but I repent. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. To take away my sins, God. I'm sorry, Lord. Hallelujah. There's no love for Delilah. I don't want any love for the world. I don't care for the things of the world. But God, he said one more time, God. He said, take hold to me, God. And when the Spirit of God came down, he took those pillars and he began to pull. Oh, the more he pulled, the stronger he felt. And after a while, something cracked. Something began to give. Something began to break. And like legion that run out of the tombs, the chains popped. Oh, and he stood there. Free. Hallelujah. He was free. The shackles had broke. The church is free. God has freed the church. God's freed the sons of God. God's tired of them grinding at the mill. Rise up into the glorious liberties of God. Even the paper has stated there is an exodus. There is an exodus. Glory to God, if there's an exodus, there must be a Moses somewhere. There must be a Moses somewhere. Hallelujah. What are you going to do, folks? I want you to rise up. Won't you stand with me? Rise up. Stand upon your feet. Hallelujah. He said, Job, gird up thy loins and answer me like a man. Job, you've whined and you've mourned and you've whined around and done all these things. But he said, Job, one time you was a great man. One time your steps was like it was in butter. One time, Job, men looked at you for your great wisdom. Oh, he said, Job, rise up out of the ash heap. Rise up out of the ash heap. Why have you let the devil do the things he has to you, Job? I give you all power over the power of the enemy. Oh, Job began to shake himself, and instead of thinking about self-righteousness and programs, he began to say, oh God, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against God. He argued with everybody, but when he come to God, he said, I've sinned against God. God heard the prayer of repentance, and God said, answer me like a man, Job. God wants you to answer him like a man today. Answer me like a man, Job. Be a man. Quit like a man. Answer me like a man. Oh, Job raised up out of that ash heap and the balls all over him. And he lifted his head to heaven. He said, though the skin worms devour my flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hallelujah. He can turn the skin worms loose on this body. He said, but my Redeemer liveth, and in the last day I shall see him stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Folks, let me tell you something. Your Redeemer is alive. Your Redeemer is standing. The captain of your salvation. The host of the captain of God's army. Hallelujah. He said, answer me like a man, Job. Old brother Job stood up. Hallelujah. The skin worms left. When the leopards took their first step from them gates, Brother Arthur, they took their first steps. Leprosy eating them up. But one said, why sit we here till we die? And another said, let's try it. One said, I'm so tired. I'm so tired and my strength is gone. Cancer is eating me up. I don't believe I can make it. Somebody said, let's try. Put your hand in the hands of the man that calmed the troubled sea. Hallelujah. Put your hands in the hands of the man that resurrected from the dead. Said, just put your hands over here. Hallelujah. Invisible hands shall guide me. Invisible hands shall hold me. And the Bible said they endured as seeing him who is invisible. Put your hands in the invisible hands. And as he began to walk, that leper said, something's happening. Something's happening. I'm getting stronger. And somebody looked around and said, oh my God. Said, man, you're not a leper anymore. Said, you're not a leper. And the man looked back and said, you're not a leper either. If we just rise up, hallelujah, and put our foot forward. Glory to God, we got power over the devil. Amen. Troubles all vanish away into nothing. How do you understand what I'm saying? Old Samson, he pulled and he tug. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know where this is in there or not. This might be off the record, but I believe it's safe to say it. I got a feeling in my heart, amen, that Delilah was sitting up there in that arena. 3,000 people. I got a feeling that she was sitting there. And little doubt in my mind when she looked, and she seen them beautiful locks grown back. She thought, my, that's my Samson. The one that I used to could cuddle in my arm. What have I done? There he stood. Samson the great. The mighty judge of Israel. Ordained of God as a great leader. And she stood, and no doubt she stood in admiration. As them big powerful arms laid upon them pillars. Hands that had taken a lion and rent it.
tore it apart. Just rent it. Tore it apart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Standing there. No doubt the tears was rolling down Samson's cheeks as he felt that strength again. He thought, oh God. Oh God. Come on, folks. If you ever slipped away in the night when you was weary and tired and beat down, and the devil saying, it ain't there anymore. It ain't there anymore. But you begin to pray. And all of a sudden you feel something. Oh God. Lord, it's there. Oh, hallelujah. It's there. Lord, you've not left me. You've kept your word. You've not left me. And faith begins to stimulate itself. And he said, God, I just lost the joy of my salvation. Oh, Lord, restore unto the church. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And all of a sudden, when that power begins to move, you stand up. Oh, you grab the pillars of the world and you shake it. You shake it and you can hear the rattle of the teeth of the devil, so to speak. You shake it. And the devil begins to tremble and begins to draw back. I imagine when Samson began to push on that pillar, a little 3,000 feet, people stood to their feet. And instead of mocking, they looked down there, probably wild-eyed, and said, oh, my God, that man has done resurrected from the dead. He's done come back. Look at that. We killed him. We blinded him. We bound him. We put him down the dungeon. But look at that man. He's resurrected from the dead. When Jesus came out, it shook everybody up. The disciples hollering and screaming everywhere, he's risen. He's risen. He's risen from the dead. Hallelujah. How many believe Christ is risen from the dead? Hallelujah. They said he's risen. The old Pilate like that said, are you sure? Are you sure? They said, Pilate, he's come out of the ground just like he said he would. Old Pilate just like that. Nervous and tore up, and the high priest shaking, and the people trembling. Hallelujah. Said he's risen from the dead. Oh, glory. He has risen. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost in you. He's risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Can you feel him on the inside? Can you feel him on the inside? Can you feel him? Believe. Just believe. Just believe. He's risen from the dead. He'll come alive on the inside. You can feel him. You can feel that strength. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can feel that spirit that picked up Ezekiel and set him down the valley of dry bones. You can feel that spirit that caused Samson to slay 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. You can feel that spirit that come upon old Elijah when he said, let fire come down from heaven. You can feel that same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. My spirit remaineth among you as I have covenanted with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And when the angel of the Lord came upon him, he said, there's going to be a Calvary. There's going to be a Calvary today, folks. There's the Calvary. Hallelujah. Today you're free from evil. You're free from sickness. You're free from bondage. You're free from death. You're free from the devil. You've resurrected from the dead. You're resurrected from the dead. When Jesus came out of the grave like old Samson, he put his hands on the pillars. How do you know what the pillars of this world is? Just drop in a little revelation. You know, one of them is the law. That's what upholds the world. If you don't believe it, just cross it out there and you'll see the strength of it. It's got a lot of strength. It one time bound Samson and put him down in the dungeon. Hallelujah. When Jesus hung at Calvary, the law smote him. Down he went. Amen. You know why? Because he come down in the flesh. As long as he was up yonder, the law couldn't do that. But when he come down in the flesh, he was made sin to show the life of Samson. He come up. That other great pillar is grace. It's by the mercy of God that God lets things go on like it does. But when Jesus come up, he caught that pillar of grace. He caught that pillar of the law. He had appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Elijah on one side representing that grace and rapture. Moses on the other. Moses representing the resurrection of them dead saints, and Elijah representing the translated saints, and there Jesus representing the living saints standing right in the middle of them. Jesus reached over and caught one of the pillars. Caught the other pillar. And Peter said, praise God, it's a trinity as sure as the world. A voice screamed out from heaven and said, son, it's a oneness. It's a oneness.
He grabbed it and he pulled. He grabbed it and he pulled. Pulled this way. And he pulled this way. Somebody said, don't you believe in the Trinity? I sure do. But the Trinitarian teaching out there is wrong. I said, don't you believe in the oneness? I sure do. But the oneness teaching is wrong. That if it's not a three, then what is it? If it's not a one, then what is it? It's a three and one. Hallelujah. And that one in the middle pulled both of them down. Hallelujah. He pulled the grace down. He pulled the law down. And he stood there all by himself. And a voice screamed out from heaven and said, don't build three tabernacles here. Said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. God preach remission of sin in his name. For there's none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved. He's resurrected from the dead. Long live the King. Long live the King. Long live the King. Can you say long live the King? Jesus is our King. Jesus is our King. He's resurrected from the dead. I was dead, but yet I'm alive forevermore. Can you say it? Long live the King. Long live the King. Hallelujah. The King of heaven and of earth. He got those pillars and they crumbled. You say, but Brother Pike, the world hasn't crumbled. I was looking at a picture today of San Francisco. There, that great building, 1906, when the earthquake hit it and left nothing but a skeleton. John said, I beheld in the cities of the nations fell. Samson's has got the pillars. You just haven't seen him pull yet. You just haven't seen him pull yet. This world is about to crumble, the song said. It's about to crumble. Hallelujah. He's got the pillars. You know what he's waiting on? That last sound of the trumpet. That last sound. I love to hear little brother Dwight. When they sang that song, he's here, and Dwight begins to blast out on that trumpet. He is here. He's resurrected from the dead. And you're more than conquerors through Christ that loved you and gave his life for you. Don't try to be strong in the power of your might or you'll crumble, but be strong in the power of his might. Be strong in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Be strong in his strength. Be strong in his righteousness. And every time you stumble, be sure it's not a willful thing. Be sure that you've done your best. And then when you stumble, just look away and say, Lord, the Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself in that thing which I allowed. Father, I wouldn't have done that for nothing, but the devil creeped up on me. But I'm not going to condemn myself. Oh, hallelujah. At Calvary, you made it whiter than the snow. Lord, it's clean. And look away to heaven. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the pillars shaking? Hallelujah. Feel them pillars shaking. Glory to God, this world is about to crumble. Lord, you'd better take a hold and lead us in. As the writer said, hallelujah. Better take a hold and lead us in, Jesus. And that day he alone shall be exalted. No man shall save them. Let's sing this little chorus together. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. It's a sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. For the day of redemption is here. Can you come to the altar? Can you come to the altar? Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit. Your lamps trimmed and clear. Come on, folks. here. If you broke those bonds, if you resurrected from the dead, don't let those fleshly gravitation hold you back. Don't let the intellectual reasoning hold you back. If you're one of the resurrected, if you're resurrected from the dead, let the redeemed tell it. Hallelujah. Can you sing it again? Oh, the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing from fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trim. Oh, hallelujah. Your redemption is here. How did you really believe that? Folks, redemption is here. It's not just near, but it's here. Hallelujah. Say it again. Oh, the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing from fear. Be filled with God's Spirit. Your lamps trim. Here. It's like the song said, what a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to come and take His children home. Hallelujah. Don't you feel free? The Bible said where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. How do you feel liberty? Do you feel liberty? Liberty. God liberated. Hallelujah. The day of redemption is here. You're free. You're not under bondage anymore. You say free from what? Free from tradition of the elders. Free from ideas. Free from fears. Free from poverty. Free from heart problems. Free from sickness. Free from death. You're the children of light. You're the children of life. Hallelujah. You're not supposed to be sick. Life is supposed to radiate through you. How many feel like you got life on the inside of you? Just move around like Samson did a little bit. You'll see this and that. See, you're giving off life. You're giving off light. Strong. Hallelujah. You know why? We've got Him on the inside. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, this old flesh gives me a lot of trouble. Can't. Ain't no way. If you've been born again, the Bible said, reckon yourselves that outer man to be dead by the body of Jesus Christ. And men has been baptized into Christ, to put on Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the wedding garment. If you try to get in without the righteousness of Christ, He'll stop you at the door. We're the body of Christ, members in particular. That's redemption. That's redemption. Somebody said, but we've been hearing that for a long time, but we ain't been believing that for a long time. We've heard that for a long time, but when we start believing that we're born as born and flesh as flesh, that is redemption. Just a little bit. Amen. Can you sing that again? Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what. Boy, Frank, don't hurry up and get this mic. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Hallelujah. sign was give out and sit down. And he probably looked back and said, oh my God, what have I done? That's right. When Samson run through 1,000 men, when he got through, he probably started to look around and said, oh my, the God of miracles is still here. Samson knew he couldn't do that. He knew he couldn't do that. But all things are possible to them that believe. You got power over sickness, power over death. You are a special people. My mother told me, said, you are a special child. Hallelujah. Your mother said, you are a special child. Hallelujah. What kind of child are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about one of them men of renown. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a proper child. If you believe you're one of them proper children, raise your hand. Sure, we're proper children. We're not improper. We're proper. Let's sing it again. Can we? Can we? Oh, the day of redemption is here.